This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Writers Toolshed. This is Richie and I'm joined by JM.
Hey everybody.
How's it going, JM?
It's going good. It's getting cold here now. Cold and dry. My lips are all chapped. It's bugging me.
What is a South Korean winter like?
We don't get much snow anymore. Climate change and all that, but it's weird because I'm from Minnesota in the United States, which is horribly, horribly cold. So I should have built up a tolerance by now, but cold just bothers me. I hate it. And now we're finally at below freezing temperatures in the morning, and it just annoys me.
Yeah, we haven't got there quite yet. Not looking forward to it though, because my dog wakes me up every day about 7:30. Nothing worse than getting out of a warm bed to go out into the freezing cold dark outside.
I don't even own my bed anymore. I wake up and there's like 5 or 6 cats in the bed trying to drive me out.
Yeah, maybe one would be okay, but I don't know about 5 or 6. You must have a big bed.
Not big enough.
You'll start getting improvising.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got a bit of news today, haven't we? Some exciting news, which we've been looking forward to sharing for quite a while, but we didn't want to say anything before the wheels had started to turn into motion. But now we're on the verge of launching something. JM, tell us a bit more.
So yeah, we've been hinting for a while now that something big is coming. And this month we are finally ready to announce that we have launched our own indie press. So without getting into the details of how that all came about, we've consolidated a lot of our stories, a lot of our intellectual property, and some of the other authors that we're working with, we've brought on board, and we are going to start publishing our own work and then also soliciting other authors for just fantasy right now. So we're focusing on traditional fantasy, basically everything short of modern / steampunk. So medieval fantasy, kind of early industrial fantasy, anything epic really. And we've got a website. We're located at ofmetalandmagicpublishing.wordpress.com. We've got our first round of books coming out in December. They go live. They're up for pre-order right now. So if you head to the website, and we'll link to the website in the details for this episode, you can pre-order currently 4 books. You can also get yourself a free book just by visiting the website. And those go live December 1st. And then just starting next month, starting December, we're going to start rolling out new content to pick up, really pick up in February and March of next year.
When my book comes out in March.
Yeah. So a lot of this early content is re-releasing some of our old stuff under the new branding. And in March, with your book, will be the start of launching brand new exclusive content that the world has never seen before. So we're kind of walking to a run, and come March we'll be running full speed.
Yeah. So if you're interested, head over to our website. We'll put it in the description below as well, and join our mailing list as well, because not only will we giving away free books that will be published by Of Metal and Magic, but we'll be linking up with other authors and getting exclusive access to their books and giving you a chance to get them for free as well. So it's well worth getting involved.
Audience, because I mean, this is a fantasy writer's tool shed, right? So a lot of the audience, I assume, is going to be writers. We are looking for submissions. So we're looking for several different things. On the website, we are publishing free short fiction and also interest posts, blog posts of interest to the writing community. So if you're a fantasy short story writer, or if you're a blogger, a writing blogger that has some writing tips or something about the fantasy genre, the fantasy market, we are looking for submissions. And on our website, there's a Write With Us subpage that you can contact us. And we do intend to provide token pay at this point, but provide a little something for any submissions that come in. We're also looking for larger works, novellas, standalone novels. Not really looking to pick up a multi-book series, just because we don't have the bandwidth to read through all that at this point.
Yeah.
And then for the readers, like I just said, we're going to have a lot of content available on the website that you can read. And then eventually, as we build up a catalog of short stories, then we'll push those out as anthologies and other things like that. So there's a lot of ways to be involved. Just check out, it's all available. You know, check out the website and see what we've got going on right now. And just bear in mind that we're just getting started. So December and January will be a big month as we start building more content and bringing in more authors, making more connections, things like that.
Yeah. And we'll be keeping you fully updated on what's going on this podcast as well. So if you're a writer, you'll be one of the first to hear submission opportunities.
So for this episode, as we promised last time, we're going to talk about marketing and give you some marketing tips. Richie is really the expert in this field. I don't have a lot of confidence in my marketing skills, so I'm just here for the ride, and I'm going to pass the keys over to Richie and let him take over from here. What do you think, Richie?
Well, I'm not really an expert. I just read a lot of things. Well, I have had no, in the past anyway, not much success with marketing. So whenever I run into a bit of an obstacle like that, I always think there's two ways to go about it. You either carry on struggling, or you do something about it, and you learn as much as you can and apply methods and techniques and things like that. And a lot of the things I've learned recently, which have really sort of kicked things off on the marketing front, is from a guy called Nick Stevenson. Nick Stevenson, if you haven't heard of him, is an English guy who, like me, wasn't really selling any of his books, and he was just really frustrated and downbeat about how things were going. So he was in this situation again. You can either just accept it and hope that someday things will change, or you can do something about it. And that's what he did. He went off and studied all he could about marketing, tried all different techniques, and applied them, from methods that have been used in like fashion, retail, anything like all these different marketing techniques that have had success in other sectors. He applied them to book marketing, and things just exploded for him. And completely hats off to the guy. He's absolutely smashed it. I mean, I think he's turning over like six figures now, maybe even more, seven figures. So it just goes to show like the things that he's done, and it is possible for us all. And today what we're going to talk about is taking those first steps to set ourselves up for success, to get to a position when we're making money from our writing that we can stop our boring day jobs and do what we actually love and what we want to do.
It's the end game, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the end game, definitely, yeah. And the things that we can do to get started are really simple, but there are a few obstacles that sort of stop us from doing it. And I think the first one, which is the one I always struggled with when I first began, is a mental block, which is you almost feel like I call it imposter syndrome, because you don't feel like you are a writer. You might at the very beginning, especially, you've got nothing published, so you've got no verification that you're any good at writing. You're writing probably on your own without getting any real feedback. You're inexperienced, I suppose, and you don't really know much about the craft technically. So it's quite an intimidating experience, and like it can sort of get you down. And if you want to be a writer, you have to overcome that sort of fear and that feeling of being like a fraud.
Yeah, and that's one of the imposter syndrome. I think that's exactly the right word. It comes up a lot, and it doesn't go away right away, even after you publish a few books and things like that. What does definitely get easier, and what I think the hardest thing for me was the fear of rejection. And that's one of the things that does get easier over time as you, especially as we pushed a bunch of times in this podcast, if you write short fiction, flash fiction, and you just get a lot more experience with submitting your work, getting rejected, dealing with it, getting back on the horse and submitting again until you get an acceptance, like go through that process and you thicken your skin a little bit. That does help. And that does help with the imposter syndrome as well, but it doesn't really go away until you're like Stephen King and selling millions of copies.
I don't know. I think it's probably always there. It's just that voice in our heads. It's weird. It's like constantly trying to tell us to do the opposite of what we want to do or what we know we should be doing.
Stephen King probably thinks like, what are these people doing? They're crazy. This is all crap. I'm living in a dream. Yeah. Oh, he gets that.
I know. It's odd. I think the nub of it is that nobody likes to feel vulnerable. And when we put ourselves out there, that's exactly what we're doing. We're exposing our vulnerabilities. So,
and really the foundation of marketing, I think, is confidence, right? Like you gotta, if you want to sell your stuff, you gotta be able to push it. Like this is, you're gonna love this book. Like this story is incredible. Like you've got to really sell it, and you got to be super overconfident. Otherwise, it's your marketing is gonna fail, right?
I always find that like there's a bit of a confusion between confidence and arrogance. Like some people approach things from like an arrogant standpoint. It's like, this is a cracking book. Like this is better than George R. R. Martin and all, everything like that. That's not the right attitude. It's having sort of like a comfortable confidence that this person is going to enjoy this book. Like you've put a lot of time and work into it. You've had good feedback. And you want other people to enjoy that experience as well. So it's just having a confidence in and using things. We'll come on to like how to sell things down the line. But it's confidence is definitely a big thing. And you just have to take the step, just take the jump off the cliff, and whatever happens, happens. You know what I mean? It's not the end of the world if it fails. And there's a good chance it's not going to fail. Like there's so many people who were in your position, and they're taking chances, and things work out for them. Like when someone first suggested to me to make a website, I was like, "Don't be silly. What am I going to put on it?" Like, that's one of the big issues. What am I going to put on the website, and who the hell's going to look at it? And again, the imposter syndrome kicks in, and then you just end up not doing it. But had I not taken the step to do it, I wouldn't have met you, JM, and we wouldn't have wrote this novel, and it wouldn't be coming out next year.
That's a good point. Yeah, I didn't even think about that, just building connections.
So the point I'm trying to make is, when I say like having a website and producing content on a website created that opportunity with you to meet you, the point of building a website and doing your own, taking the sort of scruff of the neck, really, and taking it by the scruff of the neck and sort of making your own fate, determining your own fate rather than hoping that something's going to happen. And the market has completely changed now with self-publishing. You don't want to just have to rely on agents and publishing houses for your big break to be sort of verified as a writer. You can do it yourself. And one of the steps you can do that is by creating an online presence in the form of a website and building a readership. Because if you can sort of sell fiction to thousands of people and they're on your mailing list and you're regularly engaging with them, you've got connections with them, they buy your work, new books when they come out, you're hitting the bestseller charts on Amazon. Why do you need a publisher? Why do you need an agent?
The irony to all that is that today, even agents and publishers are still going to make you do the same thing anyways. So when you apply to a lot of agents, they ask you for your website, for your readership, all that stuff. They expect you to do the marketing on your own, even if you have an agent or a traditional publisher today. So it's a skill you need to know one way or another. But if you do it well, you can cut out the middleman.
Most definitely. I mean, there probably is more money. Well, I wouldn't say more money. It's hard to say. It depends on how successful you are. But there definitely are opportunities that come with having an agent and going with traditional publishers. I mean, agents can sort of get you in with television production companies, and the amount of stuff on Netflix at the moment in the sci-fi and fantasy genre is insane. And more money keeps getting spent. So these big companies are actively looking for books to convert into TV shows and films and things like that. So there are opportunities out there, and generally that comes with having an agent. But at the end of the day, what from the agent's perspective and importantly a publisher's perspective, all their corporate capitalist machines, all they're bothered about is making money, and at your their means of doing that. So what they look for is evidence that you can sell, that people are interested in you and that they're going to make money from you. So if you set yourself up to be a selling machine and you can prove that you've got a following that is interested in what you're writing about and that you're making money yourself, then it's a safe bet, a safe investment from their perspective, and one that they're going to profit from. And that's a very cynical way of looking at it, but it's true. It always comes down to money at the end of the day. And if you're, why do you think celebrities always get easy book deals? Because they're going to sell books just purely off the back of the name. There's like people publishing books now that have absolutely got no experience in writing, but just because they've got a sort of name in the celebrity world, they'll jump up like into like the bestseller charts and stuff like that. It's no reflection on the writing. It's just purely on their ability to sell books.
Well, a lot of them probably didn't even write the book themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big market for ghostwriters.
Yeah. Yeah. So we want to take that power out of their hands. We don't want to be waiting around. There's one thing time is more valuable than anything else. And I don't want to be waiting around 6 months for an agent to tell me that they didn't like my book, or do you think it could be a bit better or something like that? So while we're sort of, we can obviously go down that route, but while we're waiting, we can do other things as well to try and grow our following and make ourselves a more sellable writer. So
we build our brand, as they determine, author brand.
Yeah, author brand, yeah. So I have a formula, three-step formula. Number one is getting the right setup. Number two is attracting readers to join with quality and valuable content. And number three is converting those readers into loyal followers. And if you can do those three things, there's nothing to stop you. Once you can nail that formula and people are sort of engaging with your content, joining your mailing list, and then buying your books once they're on your mailing list, when it comes to releasing new books, you're going to be flying off the bestseller charts. So today we're just going to talk a bit about the setup of things, because this is a massive subject, and we don't want to rush it, to be totally honest, because it's a disservice to you if we do rush it. Plus, I'm constantly learning new things about, particularly about producing content. I've recently moved into a job now where I'm in charge of a digital marketing company, and a pretty good one as well. Like, there's a lot of money being invested into this company over the years. A lot of it's trial and error to see what works on Google and what ranks on Google. So I've learned a lot about SEO, in particular keyword usage, and what Google is now looking for, particularly moving into next year when the new Google algorithm update's coming out. It's going to change everything. So we'll be revisiting book marketing. And these are free methods. All it takes is time to study and learn how to do it, and time to produce content, and you can reap the rewards. You don't have to do anything. It's just all organic traffic. So to get that organic traffic, we need a website. And when I first, I don't know about you, JM, but when I first started writing, the imposter syndrome was alive and kicking, and it was calling me a fraud and calling me a fool for even contemplating the idea of having a website. But like I said, I overcame it. And the way I look at the website, it's your shop window. You're selling the product, you're selling your stories. You need to have a shop, and it needs to be as attractive as possible if you want people to buy any of your books. So I like your website, JM, and I've sort of played around a lot with my website as well. And I think one common feature with both of ours is they're quite clean and crisp. They're not cluttered. They've got no sort of like, well, they've both got white backgrounds, so it's nice and sort of easy on the eye.
I think an important thing for me, at least, is to differentiate an author website from a straight just blog, from a blogger's blog who has no product that they're pushing. All they do is blog. So there's things to make the website look more like you said, like a shop, you know, like a storefront. So yeah. Traditional blogs, a lot of times you'll see a side menu that has dates and has like all of the blog posts sorted by date and stuff like that. That's not important for an author website. Maybe if you have a separate blog page and that's dedicated to your blog, it's good for your blog page, but it's definitely not good for an author's homepage to have a bunch of very dense menus, side menus and things like that, that are distracting from the focal point, which should be you and your identity.
Yeah. I think it's always helpful to think about how you interact with websites that you visit as well. Do you sit there and you read every single word on each page? No. More often than not, you'll scroll quickly through things, pick out snippets, look for images that look appealing, and you'll pop-ups and things like that you might interact with, click on a few links and whatnot, but generally you're not scrolling on you're not going to be on a website for very long. I think the average time of people on my website is like a minute. So you've got to
drive the focus to that one point that you want people to go to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So from a basic perspective, there's a few things that you need on your website from a Google SEO perspective. That's always a homepage, which if you build a website, it generally comes by default. And on that homepage, you just want to introduce yourself, make it clear that this is what you write, what kind of fiction you do write. I always put a bit about why So the mate, why you should join my mailing list, essentially, or what are you going to get in exchange? We'll come to that in a second. And just as much information as possible, really point people to different things on your website. So say if you've got a whole page where you publish fiction, tell people about it. This is the entrance. So you've got to make it as appealing as possible and have lots of signpost people where to go, lots of checkouts.
And then identifying what you write. So that's their entry point to get a feeling for you. So if you don't write horror, you probably don't want to have your website colors black and red, black and blood red, right? But if you do write horror, that might be a good thing for you. Themes and colors and layouts also can identify your genre and your author, your brand identity of what you do as well. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, most definitely. Another thing you need to have on your website is a contact page. Even if you don't want people to contact you, you've always got to have it. Just Google won't rank your page if you haven't got a contact page. Another thing which I've recently come to understand is if you are processing people's data, so in other words, obtaining their email address and possibly the name for the purpose of a mailing list, it's good practice to have a privacy policy on your page. Now, what you can do is head over to my website, richiebilling.com. Top left, you can see the privacy policy link. You can just copy and paste that. It doesn't matter if it's word for word, it's fine. Just change your details. And Google looks for these pages because it shows that you are a trusted source. You take what you do seriously. You're not going to be messing around with people's personal information. And trust me, you don't want to be doing that as well because you might get in trouble. And then I think once you've got them three things, that's the sort of basics that you need. And then it's all about producing content now that is going to make people want to come to your website and engage with your content as well. So it's got to be interesting. It's got to be topical and valuable. That's the most important thing. It's got to add value to people's lives. So when I was thinking about content ideas at the time, I was studying writing, like everything about writing. And what I decided to do was type up all my notes in the form of into blog posts, essentially. So blog posts on plotting methods, how to build characters, how to write fight scenes, everything. And just wrote about my experiences learning these things.
I picked up on you with all the stuff that you were writing about medieval warfare. That's how you drew me in.
Yeah, they go down really well on posts, and I should do more of them. I love just going on Amazon, right, and just buying books for like 1p, and you're just paying the postage and package essentially, and you can get there's loads on medieval history. And there was one day when I just must have bought about 40 or 50 books on medieval history, and I was just reading them all and just learning all these crazy things. So I've got like loads of posts on like what it was like to be a lord, what it was like to be a peasant.
Sieges,
yeah. Like castles, castle defense fortifications, disease, killer diseases in the Middle Ages, which is quite topical at the moment, COVID. But I find rather than someone having to read the full book themselves, I'll just make notes on what I've read and just put that in sort of like an easy to read form. And that's basically how I produce content for my website. That's what I chose to do. There's loads of other things you could do. Everyone's got their own experiences. I mean, you might study history, for example, and you could just sort of write about what you learn in on your course. That's always a good thing to do. Some sort of unique insight you've got. You might be you might go do archery at the weekends, for example. You could write about your experiences shooting. Like I did The Last of Us. I don't know if you ever tried Archery, Jay. I did it for the first time not long ago.
Not in any way professionally, no. Like when I was a kid, I think we had a couple bow and arrows at my dad's house, but no.
Oh, nice. Yeah, well, I ended up going shooting with in a local university with a guy that I work with. And the amount of things you learn, like I never appreciated that you need to wear some like a van brace on one of your arms, because when you loose the bow, the string snaps and hits your arm. So if you haven't got that van brace there, you could cut your forearm.
Definitely get real red even, yeah.
Yeah, so just like all little things like that, and it's fascinating. So
when I started my website, I used it, I posted a lot of short fiction. So I was writing my first novel in the Valley of Magic. And then I used the website I posted some like character bios to expand on the characters in the book. And then I also wrote the Adventures of Eirik serial, which was 20 flash fiction pieces where I was exploring the world of my novel as I was writing my novel to kind of build it, you know, build it out as I go and know to figure out where I was going with the novel. And by the time I was done with it, I had these 20 flash fiction pieces that I just threw into a book, and I published that as a separate book, and it's still out there.
That's awesome. So that's awesome.
It doesn't
that's
have like to just a, be, what's that?
Yeah. I say that's one of the best examples of something you can do with your website is from a content perspective, especially if you want to be a writer. There's nothing better than producing, especially like flash fiction like that on a regular basis for people to engage with. How did you find the response to that sort of approach, producing lots of little flash fiction stories?
So I generated a little bit of comments on my website, and it seemed like those posts, because I labeled them, you know, flash fiction, and I tagged them flash fiction, so I drew in a certain audience. But the other thing it did, prior to putting them all together as a book at the end, about, I want to say 7 or 8 of them, individual flash fiction pieces, I have published across the interwebs as individual stories. So that also gave me content to start the drive to be professionally published as a short fiction author. A lot of them, because they were already posted on the website, they're considered reprints, industry terminology. So a lot of them got published in places that didn't pay, because it was pre-published content. But yeah, I got a bunch of them published. It worked me through the publishing process. It's very helpful. I will always tell new authors to write short fiction, write flash fiction as a training yourself as an author, and having a website is a place to put all that content for your readers, and just to give your readers a little something extra. If they buy your book and they find your website and they become a fan of you, that's just a little something extra that you can give to them beyond that first book.
Most definitely. And if you are going to sort of expand your world with your website, make sure you put adverts about that in your book. Add like a little, make a little image link to the web page that it's all on, all the content on there. And yeah, it's a great way to get a bit of extra traffic. So there's one other thing that you want to consider putting on your website, and that is something called an invitation to connect. In other words, a sign-up form to join your mailing list. So every time someone goes on your website, if you haven't got an easy way for them to join your mailing list, you're missing opportunities to grow your following. And there's nothing worse than that. I didn't really get onto building the mailing list for a while after having a website, and I do regret it, to be honest, because lots of people visited the website and they may have joined up, and I might have had a bigger following than I do now. And it's really easy to do. There's no reason why you can't do it. Lots of websites now give you the option of building sign-up forms and integrating sign-up forms into your web pages, and all you need to do to get going is to have a secure means of storing people's data and then sending out email campaigns. For me, what I use is MailChimp purely because it's free up to 2,000 users, their subscribers. It's the best service that I've come across. Really easy to use. You can set automations. Automations are very important when it comes to engaging with your following and selling products, because you don't actually have to do anything. You only have to send the email once, and then all you've got to do then is set triggers so that these emails go out automatically.
One of the best things about MailChimp is that WordPress, which is a common, very, very common platform for websites and blogs, has a built-in MailChimp sign up pop-up widget. So it's already there for you to use and exploit.
Most definitely. And if you get the sort of more, I think it's the business subscription of WordPress, you can get extra plugins, so you can build forms into your website that are automatically linked to your MailChimp audience. So you don't even have to add them manually to your MailChimp audience. It's just the join immediately to your mail list. So if you're looking to sort of minimize the time and effort that you're spending on admin, then it's a great way to achieve that. Another good thing about using MailChimp as opposed to doing things manually, which is how I did it, I used to keep all the email addresses in a spreadsheet, and then I'd send emails out to people, just copy and paste in the spreadsheet into an email on Gmail. That can be really dangerous, especially if you've got a few thousand people on your mailing list, because you have a duty to keep people's data secure, and you can't let that data be disclosed to anyone else in any other way or used in a way that you haven't told people about when you ask them to join your mailing list. That is against the law. So it's GDPR, it's called. It came out recently. Have you heard of that, JM? You probably.
Yeah, that's the European Union. Is it the European Union one?
Yeah. So if
not specific to America, but because any website you publish, even if your target audience is the United States, there's potential that European audiences are going to see it, and you're just going to make trouble for yourself if you. Unfortunately, like, everybody's got to follow it, just because you make trouble for yourself if European audiences start seeing your website and you don't have the right things in place. A lot of those trigger automatically now. So the acceptance of cookies requirement is automatic with WordPress and any website development now. But there's other things, like you said, like storage of data that you got to comply with.
Yeah, I mean, it's just good practice as well. You want to respect the people who have chosen to engage and connect with you. And the last thing you want to do is do them the disservice of not looking after their personal information. That's just not what you want to do. It's bad customer service, if anything. So just don't do it. That's all I could say. So I found it difficult to safely manage data manually, and using something like MailChimp, which is very, very secure, really hot on rules and regulations, you can't go wrong. You can't expose yourself to risk. And if it's free, up to 2,000 subscribers, chances are you're not going to get up to that level for a while. So you've got nothing to lose in using that. And there's nothing to stop you from, if you want to move to a different provider, you just sort of export your mailing list and upload it to another one. It's dead easy. So as a starter, I always say MailChimp, and just add email addresses to your MailChimp accounts. That's fine. So the question is, how do we get people to sign up? And this goes back to one of the second point in the formula, which is attracting readers to join with content. So how do we get people to join our mailing list? We've talked about content and things. We want to make the sign up or the subscription process as appealing and as attractive as possible. So what is going to convince this person to join your mailing list? And one of the best ways to do it is to offer some sort of incentive. So something, they're going to get something valuable in exchange for entering their email address. So there's lots of things you can do. And I think one of the best and easiest examples, which is something that we've done on of Metal and Magic, is to give away a free book. So that's what we've done, isn't it, JM?
Yeah. So right now, there's actually, several different ways that we provide free books. If you go to the website, on the homepage of the website, there's a free book link. If you buy one of our other books, there's a free book link inside the book to another free book. And then, mailing lists, sending out free content via mailing lists. There's a lot of mechanisms that you can get free content to readers. And then, as you have taught me, the free content then adds to other content, links to other content, and you just kind of get a cycle going.
Yeah. It's really effective, to be honest. And you don't just have to give away like a book or fiction, for example. You could give away, like on my website, I have a lot of writing tools. So I have like downloadable versions of my writing tools that you can get access to. A new thing that I've just launched is an exclusive online writing group, which people who join my mailing list get access to. You can't join it unless you're on the mailing list, which means that if there's not like loads of annoying people spamming your group constantly saying buy me book. So that gets tiring. So so you can, there's all kinds of different incentives that you can offer people, but it's anything that's sort of going to add value to that person, or it's going to sort of be useful to them. People do like fact sheets or cheat sheets, worksheets. Like there are some big keywords, like particularly worksheet is a really popular keyword. So you've got like a writing tips worksheet, for example. If you write a series of articles about writing tips worksheets, and you've got that's one of your incentives. So when people are searching on Google for writing tips worksheets, they go on your website and then you can see that they can download a writing tips worksheet if they join your mailing list. Chances are they're going to do it. So lots of little things like that you can do. What about you, Jay? And what kind of contents, other than the fiction that you've produced, what kind of contents have you sort of given away on your website?
My website, I haven't paid much attention to it recently. I've been preoccupied with other things. I focus mostly on my blog, so publishing short fiction, publishing writing tips, and then linking to stories that are available online that I've published elsewhere. But it really wasn't until I started talking to you that I started thinking about the whole incentives contact cycle that you've kind of built up. So I really haven't implemented that on my own website yet, but I've been working it with Of Metal and Magic Publishing and building that website and building the content streams for that.
Yeah, it is. It's something that a lot of writers don't enjoy doing is marketing. And I think after having spent writing this novel took 2 years. After investing that much time, you don't then want to go off to invest a lot of time in marketing the book as well. But I think that's just a natural feeling when you don't understand something. And the more you do get to understand it and appreciate it and know how it works, then it becomes less of a scary thing and you actually begin to enjoy it. I spend loads of time doing marketing now. Like, I probably split my time 50-50 now between writing and marketing. And it's fascinating trying different things out and getting results. So at the moment, I'm doing a few different experiments with Facebook ads. And I'm getting some good results on that as well. So probably we'll be giving you some insights in that on that front down the line. Like I said, SEO, learning about new things on it all the time. So we will revisit SEO with a focus on producing blog posts and articles and how you can do keyword research, how you can use those keywords within articles and how to rank. And then when you're ranking on the first page of Google, you're getting organic traffic, which basically means you people are visiting your website without you having to do anything at all. And then if you've got the right setup in place with people signing up to your mailing list via your sign up forms and pop-ups and everything like that, you grow and you're following constantly without having to do anything. So that's the aim, that's the end goal. We will get there. It's too big a subject to cover in one podcast, so we've just started with the basics today. Set yourself up for success, and we will revisit this down the line. Have you found the gem? I mean, you've like you say, you've recently learned about the incentive thing, which is a really effective way of growing your mailing list.
My biggest takeaway is it's a lot of work, and you know, my mind knows that it's necessary. I'm still struggling to get my heart into it. I'd rather be in a cabin in the woods, just churning out my content. But with setting up the new publisher and all the work that the new publishing house is demanding of me, I'm learning a lot of new things, and I hadn't had a lot of time to write new content recently, but that's okay. It's part of the job. And I think that's the big takeaway, is new writers need to understand that the fantasy of the reclusive writer hiding away and just writing a book once a year and sending it to an agent or publisher and not having to do anything ever again, not having to do public readings and book signings and not having to do marketing, like that age is gone. The digital age, that analog culture is incompatible with the digital age and with the flooded market of today. So you have to do marketing. You have to get out there. You have to draw in an audience. It's do or die. So that's my big takeaway, unfortunately.
Definitely. It is a lot of work, and it's a lot of engaging with people. I think when we look at book marketing, we should translate that to making connections with readers, because that's the way we sell books, is we expand our network, our readership, our following. We engage with people. We talk to them. We ask them questions about what they're doing, what they're reading, what they're writing at the moment. And we're essentially building friendships. And the more successful we are at doing that, and the more people that we can engage with, the more successful we ultimately will be. And you never know, you might get to act out that dream where you're in the cabin in the woods and you can just sit there on KDP, just uploading your new book and watching it go to the number one.
Or you could make millions of dollars and just not write your next book for over a decade, or however long J.R.R. Martin's been writing the recent one.
Yeah, well, he's nearly finished now.
So he says.
He's got a cabin in the woods. It was quite funny. I was reading, I think it was his blog post. And it was just interesting to hear how he works. Like he lives, I can't know where he lives, but there was a house over the road. It went up for sale. So he bought the house over the road so that he could turn that into his sort of workspace. So he'd have like a commute to work, which would be just crossing the road. But then apparently that got cluttered, and he had to sort of move out. And he does have like a cabin in the woods where he goes and stays there. And apparently he has an assistant who stays there with him for like weeks on end. Imagine that job, like camping out in the woods with George R.R. Martin. Did you do that?
No.
I think I'd do it for like 2 weeks, just maybe once, just to sort of spend a bit of time with him, see how he writes. I mean, he must be like a fascinating fella. And he's such a brilliant writer. So there's got to be things you can learn from.
Any last tips you got to shove in before we wrap up? Like you said, it's a huge topic and we're going to have to come back several times more in order to fill out marketing as a whole concept. But anything left to say for today, Richie?
I feel like I've spoken a lot today. But no, I think don't be afraid of marketing. There's that voice in your head that will be screaming at you, telling you not to do it. It's a waste of time and no one's ever going to go on your website. Ignore it and just do it anyway. And even if it looks rubbish in your mind, don't worry about it. Like, it takes, your website is a sort of organic thing. It's an extension of you and it grows as you grow. So the more you learn about what people like, how to sort of develop things so they look aesthetically pleasing, just change them as you go. There's no need to, don't put the pressure on yourself to get it right first time. What we're doing today is just showing you the basics of how to set things up, the very sort of core things that you need. And the rest is up to you, and just sort of tweak them as you go along. That's all I do, is I just constantly tweak things.
Yep. So, I think it's my turn to close an episode for once. And that's about all we got for today. Spent a lot of time talking marketing, and we'll get at it again next, probably not the next episode, but in the future, interlaced with other topics, we'll bring in new marketing topics. If you have any burning questions that you want to ask us, you can leave a comment on YouTube, or you can look us up on Facebook, or you can even contact us at our website. Now, that's ofmetalandmagicpublishing.wordpress.com. We have a contact page, and we have a Write With Us page, which is our submissions call page, if you want to actually pitch us a story. So reach out, give us your questions. Anything immediate that you want answered, we'll shoot you a quick answer on YouTube or Facebook. And other than that, we will we'll come back to marketing in the future.
Yeah. Thanks very much for listening, everyone.
Take care.
Bye-bye.